commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Father in heaven, we thank you for the encouragement that you bring to us this morning through your word. And now, Lord, fill our hearts, our minds, and our thoughts with everything about you, Lord, and all the great promises you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Some of you may have heard of Edward Vernon Rickenbacker, and he was an American fighter pilot in World War I, a Medal of Honor recipient. And with 26 aerial victories, he was the most successful and he was the most decorated United States flying ace of the war. And he said, this is a quote, he said, "Courage is doing what you're afraid to do. There can be no courage unless you're scared." I think that's pretty straight talk. And I don't know, I think all of us have been led into places within our life where there was a certain amount of fear. And what we needed is we needed courage. The title of this message, Living with Courage. One thing about God that you can be absolutely certain of is that God is going to lead you into a place where the natural, and I say the natural, I think that natural human response is fear. But then God turns right around and he says, but do not be afraid. Now, have you ever wished that God would not put us to those types of tests? I don't like those kinds of tests. And sometimes I wonder, well why do we have to go through that? It's like, you know, I wish there was an injection that you could take of courage. You know, wouldn't it be great if you could just get a bit? It's like, God, can't you just give me a shot, you know, of courage? But it doesn't usually work quite like that. Last Sunday, we talked about standing on the promises. And we looked together at just three of the promises from God to us. There was the promise of peace. There was that promise of God's protection. There was a promise of provision. But how is it that we ever discover? How can we know and how can we actually experience that God keeps his promises unless he allows us to go through those things whereby we must see that he is faithful, that he will indeed keep those promises? As we look at Joshua chapter 1, we discover yet it's another promise, and it is the promise of God's constant presence. Joshua, he was a man who was well known. He was respected for his bravery. You may remember that it was Joshua who, along with Caleb, they went back into the promised land. They came back to Moses with the assurance that they could take the land. Now, there were other spies, but they never got over their fear of the giants that they had seen. Later, it was Joshua who would be the successor of Moses as the leader of the children going into Israel. Eventually, they would lead Israel into Canaan and conquer the land, but it was Joshua, though he was a brave man, he still battled fear. We know that to be true because of this passage. It is fascinating to me how brave people have profound weakness in that wall of bravery. Take Elijah, for example. Now, we know Elijah was brave. Elijah was the one, he called down fire from heaven. Elijah was the one who took on King Ahab face to face. It was Elijah who, you know, faced the prophets of Baal, had 400 of them killed. I mean, you think, what a brave man. But then it's like in the next chapter, we look at Elijah and it's Queen Jezebel. I mean, she's, you know, she's threatening, you know, Elijah. And what does he do? Runs. Runs from Jezebel. It reminds me of a passage that Paul wrote to the church that we all will discover that there is a weakness. We are allowed to have certain weaknesses. Though we may be brave in other areas, we discover that there are weaknesses. And Paul wrote, "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." And we discover that God's strength is made perfect in our weakness, but our weakness must first be exposed. I have discovered that personally to be a very painful process. I do not like that my weakness is exposed, and I do not like to go through the process whereby I discover that I have weak areas. And yet it seems to be a part of the plan of God in my life and your life as a believer, that we must go through that process. Joshua, obviously at a place in life where that weakness had been exposed, and this is somewhat surprising about Joshua, because as a young man, he was ready to get up and go and take the land. And then we look at him later in life as he's kind of grown up, and 40 years later, and we look at this man, and we go, what happened? God is speaking to Joshua, and it is through this passage that God speaks to us. God wants us to live and experience a courageous life as a believer. The verse, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." I think we need to look at that passage and we need to somewhat apply it personally as if God were saying it directly to us, because he is. God doesn't just make that promise to a great man like Joshua. He makes that promise to each of us individually. It's the same command. Be strong and of good courage. There's a few factors I'd like for you to consider with me. Factor number one, God will enable you to succeed. God will enable you to succeed even where others may have failed. Sometimes God is going to give us something to do, a job someone else has already failed at, and so we're faced with this fear of failure. Now this is a fear I've personally experienced often. It's the fear of failing and being seen to fail. I mean, it is fine if I fail at something and I'm alone, I used to be somewhat of a recluse. You know, I've shared that I've grown up on the large Montana ranch, and you know, if I failed at something, it was no big deal. Nobody saw it. But it's when people are watching your life and they see you and they know you've set out to do something, and there's a certain amount of fear of, you know, I might fail at this. I think that's what Joshua was experiencing. He was the leader. He was the one who was the successor of Moses. What huge shoes to fill. And so there was a certain amount of fear of a failure. Moses had already failed in this very area. And it says in verse 1, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel.'" And so 40 years earlier, we have this similar scene. The people there encamped near the land of Canaan, ready to cross over and take the land. And God had promised this land to the children of Israel. And now it was time. God commands Moses to send spies into Canaan, and for 40 days these spies, they're checking it out. They came back with a good report. Man, you should see the fruit. It is absolutely amazing. Clusters of grapes so large that it would take, two men to carry. This land, it is flowing with milk and honey. That's the good news. However, there are strong people who live in strong cities, and that's not all. We saw the descendants of Anak. Now, that name doesn't mean much to you or I, but it would have sent shivers of terror into the spines of the children of Israel. Anak, that was a name. It means long neck. It means giant. Anak was the father of the race of giants called the Anakin, and they were the terror of the land. And so the people, they were struck with terror. They refused to go into the land. They complained against Moses. They complained against Aaron. And they were so angry that they rose up to stone Moses and Aaron. Now, there were two men. They refused to be dismayed. They refused to fall back in fear. They said, hey, we can go in. We can take these guys. We can do it. If God delights in us, then we can take the land. They had complete faith. They had complete trust in God. Those two men were Caleb and Joshua. So God, angry with the people that he sent into the back into the wilderness you go. They wandered around until that entire generation died off, and their children were left to inherit the land. So now here we are. We're 40 years later. We're at the bank of the Jordan. We're ready to cross over to the land that God had promised. Same land, same cities, same people, same Anakins. Joshua was under no illusion. He knew what they were up against. But it's 40 years later. Now maybe he's looking at it in a little different light. And now it's Joshua, the one that has some fear as he looks across the Jordan. I believe this fear of failure, it's one of the greatest barriers to accomplishing God's plan. You know, God is going to give us a plan, and sometimes, often, that plan involves overcoming a fear. It might be the fear of failure. It might be the fear that somebody is going to look at us that we know and say, you know what, you are the loser. You failed. And so we live with that fear. The key to overcoming is to believe and to know that you are in the plan of God. And when you are in the plan of God, failure is impossible. The only way we could ever fail when we're in the plan of God is if we step out and we begin to trust in ourselves. But fear, it can keep us from moving forward with God's perfect plan. If you are here this morning and you know that you are in the plan of God and you are in fear, you must remember that God's plans never fail. You may not understand. In fact, oftentimes, I believe God does give us a plan we don't understand. We don't know what God is doing. We can't figure it out logically. In fact, it may make no sense whatsoever. And yet, it's exactly in the plan of God. In spite of the fact that Israel had previously failed in the plan of God, God was saying to Joshua, Joshua, you're my man for the job. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving them to the children of Israel. So that is number one. Number two, the second factor that I'd like for you to consider is that God will always keep his promises. We studied that last Sunday. Verse 3 is a promise. And every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I said to Moses. Here God is assuring Joshua that God will act according to all that he has promised. Now, this wasn't just a promise just to Joshua. God had promised Abraham actually hundreds of years earlier, way back in Genesis chapter 12, verse 7. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants, I will give this land." And the promise had been carried forward to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, and now God again reminding Joshua of the promise. Every place where the foot, the sole of your foot steps, I'm giving it to you. And so here God is declaring to Joshua his promise concerning Israel. I have given to you the land, now go and take it. You have the promise, but you have the responsibility of Joshua to appropriate the promise. And this is where we often fall back. We have the promises of God. God has already told us what he will do. But we have a responsibility to walk and to act in faith and to appropriate those promises into our circumstances personally. It wasn't enough that God made the promise. Joshua actually had to go, and he had to do, and he had to cross the river in faith. And so often, that's where we fail, and we fall. There's a third factor. That is that God will never leave us. You know, for some people, their greatest fear is being left alone. That is the greatest fear that some people face. One of the great blessings of knowing Jesus Christ is that we are never alone. You and I, as believers, as ones who trust, as children of God, we are never alone. He is the friend that stays closer than a brother. Look at verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. I think it's safe to put our name in there. I believe it's safe to say that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. That is a promise from God to you. He never leaves us, never turns his back on us, never forsakes us. And God is now reminding Joshua that as he was with Moses, so he will be with Joshua. The problem is, and this is why many Christians become fearful, is though that they know about God, it's on an impersonal basis. They don't know him in a personal way. They do not trust him in a personal way. They might acknowledge that there is a God. They may acknowledge a creator, but they do not acknowledge a personal God who is personally interested and personally watching out for you. Paul wrote to the Romans, he said, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither life nor death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Just that recognition of, you know what? There's no way to separate me from God through Jesus. It is impossible. Nothing can separate you from God through Jesus. I shared with you last week a little bit about my very close friend Floyd, and I got a message from his wife yesterday, and she said, "You know, Floyd is expressing such a longing for heaven. And he just prayed and said, Lord, to just take him quickly." The Lord took him that day. And Floyd's at home with the Lord. To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. There is never a time as you go through life that he ever leaves you. And even in that time of when you come to the end of life, he gives you that sense of, you know, the moment I take my last breath here, I take my first there. The moment that I am absent from this physical body, I am present with him. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And I'm so happy to think that Floyd is spending his first Lord's Day with the Lord, personally, now, in the very presence of God. He never leaves us, and he will never forsake us. Number four, this fourth factor that I'd like for you to consider is that God does command us to trust. And this is a command. Verse 6, it begins with a command. Be strong and of good courage. Again, I would like for you to take this personally. I do not know all the circumstances that each of you are going through, but as you walk with the Lord, if you are not in a place where you need that courage, you will be, because he will take you there. And his word to you is the same as his word to Joshua. And that word is a command, and it says, you know, as a believer, you can be strong and you can be courageous. You do not need to fear. We are living in a world today where we are under constant assault. The truth that we believe in is under constant assault. The very Bible that we trust in is under assault. The truth of God's word is under assault. And the enemy, your enemy, who is a roaring lion, he would like for you to walk around in fear. But the word is the same to you and I this morning. Be strong and of good courage. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. It doesn't matter what this world comes against us with. God is with us. And he is the God of this world. He is the one who created it all. The earth is the Lord's. It belongs to him. And he has called you into his kingdom. And as a child of God, whatever is taking place in this world, you can walk through it in courage. Be strong. Do not be afraid. I'll tell you what the short translation is just simply to trust. You're going to trust God. There is an easy way for us to know if we're really trusting in God, and it's simply this. First of all, we're going to apply some scriptures to that. Am I trusting God? Am I really walking? Am I strong? Am I courageous? Number one is, do I have peace in my present circumstances? Or am I worried? Am I fraught? Am I with fear? Am I walking in fear? Here's a verse for you, Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Am I walking in fear? Am I afraid? If I am afraid, then that means that my trust isn't complete. I might have some faith. I might have a little faith. God wants to grow that faith. And the psalmist wrote, in God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Are you afraid? What can man do to you? What about stability? Am I stable even in an unstable circumstance? Psalm 125, verse 1, those who trust in the Lord, they are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved but abides forever. In other words, the psalmist is saying, you know what, when you're really trusting, when you're walking and you have faith and trust, God is like, he's just like a mountain. You can stand on it. It will not be moved. God will not be moved. And you stand with him, standing on Mount Zion. You have the peace of God. You might have some fear. but God allows you to overcome the fear. You are stable in a situation that may seem rocky and unstable. God will enable us to succeed even when others have failed. There is the promises that we can rely upon, and he will never leave us or forsake us. And there is the command here to simply trust in him. And we look at Joshua. He's just one of many examples. There's men and women in the Bible that were called by God into circumstances that would provoke any one of us to fear. I'll tell you, I'm thankful I'm not one of those Old Testament saints. Some of the things that they went through. I would not want to be Daniel in the lion's den. I would not want to be Gideon with only 100 men going out over, you know, against 32,000 trained warriors. I would not want to be those men. But I am thankful that I have them as examples to learn by. That God is faithful in his promises. I do believe by nature most of us prefer the easy path. Amen? We prefer it, don't we? Rather than face the real challenges, to be honest, we would look for a way out. We don't like the challenges. I read that Dr. Adrian Rogers, he tells about a man who bragged that he had cut off the tail of a man-eating lion with his pocket knife. Asked why he hadn't cut off the lion's head, the man replied, somebody had already done that. That's the kind of challenge we like. Go where some other man has gone before. But you know, when it comes to developing our faith and our trust in the Lord, I'll tell you, God usually, he just doesn't give us those headless lions. There are some very real and present challenges that you and I are facing or that we will face. But the promise of God's presence, it's not just what Joshua needed, it is what you need and what I need. And so we take this verse 9 and we apply it to ourselves personally. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. What do you think of that promise? That's quite a promise, isn't it? And Father in heaven, we thank you for the assurance that we have. We can be of strength and courage and live and walk, not be afraid. You are with us wherever we go. And you've promised never to leave us or forsake us. And so, Lord, we're going to really trust. And we know you've brought us into these places in our life where we must. And we trust in you. And so, Lord, thank you for the examples. As I said, I'm thankful I'm not one of them, Lord, that went through these things. But yet I see the great examples that have been set before. And so now, Lord, we want to appropriate this very promise into our own circumstance and into our life and walk in strength and courage through Jesus Christ, our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. May you walk with him this week. Walk in his love and his grace, and his truth, and appropriate his promises. If there is something that you are going through personally, find out what the Word of God has to say about it. Find out what promises apply in your situation. And then appropriate those promises. Believe
and know that they're for you as a child of God, belonging to Him. In Jesus' name, amen.